listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
So I typed a text to this girl I used to see saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down, but I CC'd every girl that I CC around town. And I hate to see y'all frown, but I rather see her smiling. Wetness all around me, true. But I'm no Allen. Peninsula, maybe. Makes no sense. I know, crazy. Give up all this pussy cats that's in my laps with no looking back. Spaceships don't come equipped with rearview mirrors. They dip as quick as they can. The atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so like a pip, I'm glad this night so the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
we're in the house for a feedback show on a Saturday. That's right, guys. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning, you guys know how we do. We got a lot of feedback to get to this week too. A lot of people send us voicemails and stuff, too.
They had a lot to say, huh?
A lot of people had a lot to say about the things that happened throughout the week.
Apparently so.
We did a lot of work this week.
Well, we really did. It was a lot going on.
This is the week to be premium. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
We got a lot of stuff done. And, appreciate everybody takes the time out to listen and support the show. Of course, some people go the extra mile and they donate to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we likes to play them a song.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression.
Mm-hmm. The official weapon of the show is
the taser
and the unofficial sport
bullet bomb.
Let's give a shout out to all the people that donated this week.
Hey,
Pamela B, thank you. Pamela,
thank you,
appreciate you. Kimberly J. Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Got a one-time donation from Carl J. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you.
I hope them Carl Juniors are doing fine out there for yourself.
Vicky gave us a nice recurring donation. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank
welcome
you,
to the fold.
Sweetie. Yes.
Aaron M. gave us a one-time donation. Says, love you guys. Keep doing what you do.
Oh, thank you for visiting, sweetie.
Tavon S., recurring donator.
Shantae
B.
Oh, thank y'all. These names is new, boy. Conrad gonna be busy in that class.
Joy M, recurring donator.
Hey, baby.
Damian Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
We got a brand new recurring donator. Now, I don't know if this is who I think it is, but if it is, my brother, recurring donator. What? Rodney?
Right.
What? Brand new recurring donator. Thank you, little brother. Looking out for the family.
I know. Thank you to the fold. We'll be still handing out flyers. The new members class is first and third Sunday after service. So I'm just making this announcement because, you know, we got a whole lot of y'all coming in.
Autumn W hit us with the recurring donation. Thank you, Autumn. Brand new recurring donation. So I guess my brother and Autumn gonna be in the class together.
Gonna be learning all together.
She hit us with two donations. I don't know if that was on purpose, but thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
That might have been an accident. double check that. Catherine B, recurring donator. Thank you, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Catherine B. Jane M, recurring donator.
Thank you, sweetie.
Shirley Wong, Esquire. Please say the Esquire.
Mm-hmm. The official lawyer, if you have any accidents or anything like that, that's the lady who you go talk to.
Kelly C hit us with the recurring donation. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Katie G, recurring donator. And that's everybody. But that was a lot of people. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, everybody.
On a random May Saturday.
Right.
Y'all hooking us up. Thank you. Play me out.
Show would hate to see you give up now.
People.
You look so much better when you smile.
Let's go.
Smile for me. And you just smile for me.
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
And you just smile for me.
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
Give me your checks. That's what he be saying. I'm sorry, God's property, but them checks are my property.
I know, right?
My name comes first.
Apparently so.
All right.
I'm leaving the group like Beyonce.
Says Kirk Franklin and God's property, okay? All right. Well, let's talk about the people who left us 5-star reviews. Also, someone told me we got a 5-star review from the UK, so I'll have to switch and go see that after I read these two.
Cool, thank you.
We got 2 new 5-star reviews. Thank you, everybody that does this, you know. As I'm sure will be a theme this week, you guys see some of the shit that we deal with from some of the people that have bullshit to say about us. And this show is, in my opinion, really good for our mental health. And
yes, it is.
The show, you know, showing people love that love us, that's what we love to do.
Yeah, we do. We do. And before you go on, I would like to tell everybody, thank you for all just your love and support. And like I said, I know it's a lot of you guys out there that don't really say too much, but I know that you're out there. And I just want to tell everybody, just thank you, because a lot of people pour and shower love and just know that it is reciprocated.
Yeah, we always get kind of wrapped up in a bubble of just positive emotions and feedback.
We do.
After people say some fuck shit about us anyway. So it's y'all are awesome, man, and it really does matter to us.
Yeah, it encourages us and let us know that we at least we doing something right. Somebody out there cares.
So here's the 5-star reviews. We got 2 of them from the US. Munchkins 82 says awesome 5 stars. Great podcast. Ryder Karen are the best. Smart, funny, entertaining. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Black Native says, you ain't heard. 5 stars. Oh, you ain't heard. The black guy who tips is quality podcast. And I found out about this podcast by Rob being a guest on the 5-starter podcast. And I'm glad I gave it a listen. The game, soundbite, segments, awesome commentary on things by Rod and Karen are excellent. I also dig how they are about black podcast unity by having guests of other podcasts and being guests on others. Listen to the Blackout Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are dope. Thank you.
Thank you. We love them over at Hot 5-starter.
Yeah, man. I was listening to them today, man. Those are my boys. They keep it real. Speaking of having podcasters on and stuff, this week is looking like it's going to be a pretty busy week. I know.
Yeah, it is.
Tomorrow we're having, some of the Decepticomics on.
Yes.
Monday, Drew and Leslie from the Interracial John is on.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesday, Petey Steele is on. So.
Woo-hoo! Ooh, that'll be fun.
I know, we got a big week, and
that the pop socket Lord Hammer is a sock puppet.
Yes, he is a sock puppet for 3 Guys On. And Wednesday I haven't booked a guest for them Thrones review yet, but you know, working on it. We'll Woo-hoo. Get to that soon. And now let me check the UK and see what these guys got for us. And while I do that, I will play some music, because it takes a second for this stuff to come up. So how about what songs have I been listening to lately? Oh, New Schoolboy Q. Well, I played that before the show. I found this artist. Shout out to Tidal. They be looking out for you. Theo Crocker.
Is it under the Rising Star thing? Not Rising Star.
This one was under Tidal Rising or Tidal Discovery or what? I think it was actually under What's New.
Okay.
Cause I think this is a new album. But Theo Crocker, apparently he's like a jazz artist, and he got some dope shit. This is We Can't Breathe. And then let me go find the thing. Get into it. We got 2 new ones.
Woo!
Podcast Save My Sanity 5 stars by Katie Pie. who says, I spend so much of my day in the online space as it's both where I work, play, and maintain a social life after moving thousands of miles from family and long established friends. As I was beginning to doubt my own sanity at being what I consider to be a reasonable negress, I finally gave Rod and Karen's podcast a listen in December while visiting home, DC. Shout out to DC. Mm-hmm. I'll be up there soon.
We will.
Though I felt instantly at ease with their humor, sharp analysis, and that considered multiple sides and segments, I truly fell in love while listening to the grocery store respectability episode. It sounded like me and my best friend of 20 years. I felt I had happened upon a family. I claim you, even if you don't claim me. I'm so glad I became a premium member, and I wish you both all the success in the world. You have built something special and intensely gratifying for so many. You make me a better thinker. Much love, KP, at number one feeling. Oh.
Yeah, most of y'all got good common sense, so most of y'all, we don't have problems with it at all.
Listen, 99% of our audience is cool as fuck.
Right.
At least the ones I know about.
Right.
Then there's like that 1% where you just like, nigga, why?
Right.
But thank you so much. And I'm glad you enjoy the show, and I'm glad we're keeping you company over across the pond.
Me too.
You know, I don't know what, have some tea and crumpets on us. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know, you know. Anyway, get listening. This is by Learners, 5 stars, who says, consistently hilarious, informative, and brilliant. Ryder Karen, a wonderful host, and you do well if you start listening today. I mean, if you started listening yesterday. Thank you. Thank you, both of you guys.
Thank you.
And anybody else, if you're a person that has left us a review in another country, we can't always see all the countries. So, right. You know, if you listening to us out there in Madagascar, the Ukraine, even if it's like Canada, you know, like, let us know if you left us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yeah, and Mexico. I know y'all, we front to back, but they like, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's people all over the world that listen to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, as evidence from our numbers, we know that y'all listening.
Yeah, we can see the little dots on the map. Be like, you got downloads in this area?
Yeah, it's a map that comes with this thing, and they show you, like, well, these people are listening, and this country is your number one country, and this, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys listen, but we're not always able to go out and get your reviews and see what was said and who said what. So if you guys could just let us know when you leave a new review, and we'll find a way to read it on the show.
We will. All
right. Let's note there were no Stitcher reviews this week. And I still haven't looked into the Google Play review thing. I need to do that. I'll make a note.
Okay.
I'll make that. That's Karen's thing to do, guys. Karen will be looking out for y'all.
Okay. I will.
All right. Let's talk about people who left comments on the website, theblackouttips.com. First of all, we had some pretty good premium episodes this week. I know I have put the off-season review for Leonard out.
Mm-hmm.
I put out pregame number 41, where we talked about Birdman and his interview with the Breakfast Club.
Yes, me, Karen, you, and Justin.
Yeah, Karen was on that. Of course, we had our Day Walking, Fear the Walking Dead, season episode 5, Captive. We put that out at midnight on a damn Sunday because we love y'all so much. And y'all paid for it.
Yes,
so
y'all did.
Only way my black ass stand up to record a podcast.
Come on, at a midnight. Knowing I got to get up for work, honey. That is love. Our premium people, we really love y'all.
We did Balls Deep 154, The Drinking Game, which, listen.
Yeah.
Now, the word on the street is that we did a Balls Deep and things were said. I refuse to acknowledge or condone anything that was said on that show. people have already left comments for it. That's how you know it was
trill.
What happened is Justin graduated yesterday.
He became somebody.
He got a master's, Justin, and so we celebrated
with
a little something called tequila.
It was that top flight, top shelf.
It was, well, I don't, it was just, I just know it cost a little bit, but it was on sale, so that's the one I got. It's called Swaza 901 or something.
It was actually real good.
Went down real smooth. Too smooth.
Yeah, it was real good.
So we turned Balls Esports into a drinking game. We established the drinking rules. And then,
which kept getting broken immediately. I didn't break none of the rules.
As people of the rule, well, I mean, the drink, that's the drinking game. Like, it's not fun if you never.
Oh, okay. I'm supposed to break the rules. My bad.
Well, we pick things that people do. We pick things that happen on the show, and then you have to drink when it happens.
Yeah, because it was like articles and shit like that. Yeah.
What was funny though is that as we got drunker, I stopped. I forgot. I would be like, oh, wait a minute. We weren't supposed to do impressions if we don't want to drink. And it's like, fuck, we gotta drink. Or damn, I hope nobody else get arrested. You know, the game is the game. And, I took a picture of the damage we did to that bottle afterwards. Just the three of us with some shot glasses. Listen, it's like a sip in that bottle now.
And the thing is, I partially blame your right hand, because Roger is left-handed, so he was pulling with other hand.
I pulled yours on my left. Only Justin's got pulled with the right.
Okay.
And his got one that was too heavy. The rest was fine. Anyway.
Well, I can at least tell you this. Mm-hmm. I can hold my liquor better than Justin.
Listen, I'm not saying that it was lit. I'm saying the Turk had to come get Justin to get that home. He could not. He had to come get his car the next day. But shout out to not getting cheap liquor though. I woke up, my head didn't hurt. I didn't throw up or nothing.
Right, that's why it pays for y'all cheap folks out there. Go ahead, spend a little bit more money so you can function the next day.
Yeah, we would have had that plastic bottle shit. We would have
been calling out of work.
My head would have been bumping in the morning, but nah.
I felt just fine. If you out of sleep, I was good.
I mean, I didn't wake up on time, but when I woke up, I was fine. And then the last episode that we had was a premium episode, was Medium Talk 33, because during Balls Deep, a dude got on Twitter and said some sideways shit to Karen, which is so funny, you know, because he just wanted that attention. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the reasons we don't always talk about the trolling and shit that we get, because
we get a lot of it, y'all.
It's an invitation for other people to keep trolling, you know, and other people, that other trolls just want to get your attention, and they start trying to, you know, do shit too and act out. And well, this dude acted out, and I was just, you know, I tweeted him during Balls Deep, you know, like, man, I just wish I was in the same vicinity as you. And somebody on my Facebook group, when I posted what the shit he was saying, was like, you know, and I said, I don't know how to get a hold of this dude, but if I did, and it was like, oh, he's a DJ and this is his website and this is his phone number. So I called him, and we had a nice little chat, and I turned it into Medium Talk, called episode 33, Constructive Criticism. So you guys that are premium, you guys can listen to me half drunkenly yell at this man.
I was asleep, you know. Y'all know what, I know I do the show too, but you know what, sometimes premium folks, I'm just as shocked as y'all. I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, my feet lit, because I was sleeping.
Well, at any rate, that's just the premium shit, not counting the regular episodes.
Right, not counting the regular episodes, y'all.
So, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm about to say, so yeah, you premium. Yeah, we try our best to give you your money's worth.
Yeah. So here's the we got a couple comments on Medium Talk already. Let's see. Anzi Davis says, hollering, thank you for putting that troll in his place. I do not understand why trolls don't remember how petty you are and that you have time, and that is why I love y'all. Man, y'all should have seen the shit I was thinking about doing.
I'm glad you toned it down. Yeah, the alcohol probably talking.
Nah, he's so good. Nah, I'm sober right now, and I still could do it. He apologized. Oh yeah, that's right. He told me to tell you that he apologized, Karen. Anyway, he apologized, and that saved him. He travels up and down the coast doing shows. I was about to book him for a show and just be like, oh, this is the party, me and you. Let's party. Also, you know, He said he does corporate gigs. I mean, can't be too hard to find out which corporations and be like, don't deal with this dude. Mm-hmm. At any rate, glad he apologized. Art says, I'm glad you put that Buster in his place for coming at your wife. FYI, love the show. Shout out to the Queen Karen.
Thank you. And people better realize an apology goes a long way.
It might save your career. You never know. You just never know. Might save your life. You never know.
Right. Like literally. Yeah.
You never know. Save your ass.
Yeah, you can make the wrong person mad and it will not end well.
Anyway, 1196 Crunch the Baby was the feedback show, and no comments or anything, but the poll was, would you buy tickets to a Lauryn Hill concert? Yes, 7% of y'all would still buy tickets to a Lauryn Hill concert.
What's wrong with y'all?
Really, guys, 7% of y'all would. I mean,
are you doing it just because you want to be mad?
Can you not just like take that money and give somebody a premium membership? Like, I'll set it up for you and we could just give it away. If you just right. throwing money away,
because we got a lot of people that can't afford. I mean, throw it this way, we can right. you can sponsor right.
we
new
will
member.
Sponsor somebody for you if we you will. Just don't throw the money in the trash like that.
A lot of college students out there would love to be premium, be like, dog, I ain't got the money right now.
Yeah, that dude on me and talk, they kept talking about me going solo. I was telling, hey, if I go solo, I'm gonna be the Lauryn Hill of podcasting. Tell y'all right now, I'm gonna schedule a show for 10, show up about 11:45. I'm gonna do 15 minutes by myself, then I'm gonna leave. I'm like, oh, the venue's closing down, but you work from home. The venues are closed, the lights are off. The lights are off. Be peace and blessings, y'all. I gotta go take care of
I'm glad I'm here.
Yes. And ashamed of y'all selves. Put some clothes on. I love that album. I don't give a fuck. I know she was saying all the wrong shit.
She was.
That album aged good with me. I don't care what they say.
It still goes.
Yeah. I don't listen. Like, I don't understand why that album gets such a bad rep for, oh, it's slut shaming and all this shit. But you know what? I don't believe or agree with any of the shit from the 90s that I used to jam to.
Oh, no. They all a lot of shit I listen to is very misogynistic, very problematic.
Yeah, not even the well-meaning shit. Like, I listen to what's my boys, Black Star. Everybody loves Black Star. Oh, conscious black music, right? Everybody, oh man, Talib Kweli. I hope we get a Black Star too. I mean, it was the best shit ever. But then you listen to like Brown Skin Lady or some of the shit, and you're like, oh, this is a little bit restrictive. What you guys consider to be a good woman, this isn't necessarily, you know, there's a lot of hate on other types of hip-hop on this joint. That is an interesting on that, but we don't ever hold that against them, so I don't know why we would hold that against Lauryn Hill and Miss Education, because that shit was dope. Anyway, 1197, Align Your End Clock is when my mama was on the show for Mother's Day. Mm. Everybody always enjoys these. We got five comments. That's a lot of comments. Snap. Let's see what they had to say about my mama.
People love with your mama. I know for a lot, every year you get a lot of people because we constantly get new people listening who are hearing her for the first time.
Yeah, and we also get sometimes we get the page freezing. For no reason.
It's spinning up there. I see it.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's like, you thought I was gonna work. Mm-mm.
GB Focky says, "Hey, Rod, Karen, and Rod's mothers. I think they meant Rod's mother. I love this episode. However, I wish you didn't play that white girl covering Freedom. You ain't like that, huh? not a big fan of the white people covering black music. Is that what you're trying to say? Because I'm not either. But you needed to hear that." I mean, I know there are plenty of awful white covers of black music out there, but like my student loans, I would like to believe if I ignore them that they don't exist. Also, can a group called the Dixie Chicks really be down? That's true. That is true. Just saying. Anyway, keep up the good work. I love your show. You know, I like, in a way, maybe they infiltrated the enemy. You know, it's like our show. It's called The Black Guy Who Tips, but we don't believe in that respectability of black people don't tip and shit, so maybe they infiltrated with the Dixie Chicks name, but then when they got in there, it was like, fuck George Bush! I mean, I don't know what the rules are, But
me either. They better quit messing around. Beyonce so revolutionary. Her next album will fuck around in the goddamn country, and we'll be bumping it, and she'll be stealing all your awards at the CMA. Keep fucking with
them. They keep putting that on. They keep putting them that bass line under that country music. People gonna fuck with it,
right? And they playing it on the country station and shit like that. And don't let her turn around and get invited to the CMAs. Oh yeah, I'll be there live tweeting and watching all them folks get mad because she up there dancing for me.
I think we need to listen to more covers of black music from white people so that people understand the scourge and the menace that is happening every day as it goes unchecked.
It's a problem.
Someone sent me one last night of Panda with another cover of Panda.
Talking about that Panda on the Kanye album?
Yeah, we played it. I think we played one before.
Yeah, we did. It was bad.
Yeah, and now they're doing it again.
Panda. Like Randy, the chopper go Oscar for Grammy. Bitch, hater, pull up your panties. Hope you killers understand me. Black is six, Phantom. White is six, like a panda. Going out like Montana. 100 killers, 100 hammers. Black is six, Phantom. White is panda. Pocket swap, Danny. Selling bar, candy. Man on the macho like Randy. The chopper go Oscar for Grammy. Bitch, hater, pull up your panties. Killers understand me.
Terrible. How did they get that out of Panda?
I have no idea. And you know what? All jokes aside, black people, when it comes to our music, we cool all by ourselves. We make bad music too, don't get me wrong. But a lot of shit that's hot, we end up making it. And we can go, and like, I remember you had played like the covers of like a lot of like white people songs that we remade. We even made them shit sound better.
Oh yeah, trap covers.
Right. So It's one of the things where a lot of times y'all don't make it sound better. That's like you taking somebody good fried chicken and you be like, take all seasoning out. What you using flour for? Get some cornflakes. What, bitch? Get out of here.
Right. I like Popeyes, but I like it without the skin, with no seasonings.
Right. I like them green beans, but don't put no grease in it. Why is the onions and potatoes in your green beans? Why ain't your green bean in casserole form? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like green bean casserole, but no, you get out of here with this foolishness.
This is the original version.
I don't even want to hear Kanye rap over this part. Up in the morning, miss you back. Hey!
I'm just feeling my vibe right now. I feel myself. Panda.
I got bras in the Atlanta.
I'm saying, come on, man. Why would you want to whiten that up?
It's not even the same. This song go right. Hard. Not trying to be funny. I thought the dude who made it and the song were both named Panda.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time until Roger told me otherwise.
Yeah, it's Designer, but I really think Designer is Future.
Okay, he might be. I don't know.
To avoid them child support payments, so he just.
I thought Panda was
creating a whole nother artist persona, and then that way the IRS will tax Designer as a different person, and
the IRS
won't have to get any of that money. That's my thing.
Yeah, I can see trifling people doing stuff like that.
I never seen Designer and Future in the same place. I never seen them together.
Oh, they don't. Yeah, because I was like, boy, this dude named Panda, whoever he is rocking hard with a song named after himself. But yeah, see somebody else in there, didn't know it either, see?
If I don't ever see Designer and Future live on stage performing together, I'm not going to, and touching. They got to touch.
Ah!
Because it could be a hologram.
Right, you could be tricking me.
I need to know for sure that this, I think Future is pulling a fast one on us, y'all. Anyway, so they go on to say, the KC Stork says, y'all niggas almost killed me. I should say Rod's mom almost killed me when she hit that, the clock, nigga, what the clock say? I found out why you should not try to swallow coffee while laughing. I always enjoy when you guys have family on the show. We get a glimpse of what shaped you and help to be the driving force to one of the greatest podcasts, period. The show gets better and better with each episode. I have not called or sent a message in a minute, but I listen to every episode and remain a premium listener. Keep giving the people in the podcast streets what they need. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Sugar Bay says, whispers, I attended a L Boogie concert in 2014 and her energies weren't aligned then. I told a couple of people how out of alignment she was and with time and how all the songs she played were virtually unrecognizable. They laughed at me for a month because we saw her in concert in Jamaica 2 or so years prior. She was again not aligning with the clock that us mere mortals use. Her chakras were off or something, and she fought with the sound guy throughout the entire performance. Never again. I also saw Questlove's write up regarding Lauryn Hill debacle. He was 100% spot on. God bless Miss Hill. Yeah, Questlove is cool, but my man Talib Kweli is just going down with the ship for this one. I don't know. I'm like, are y'all fucking or something? I've never seen anyone being this ridiculous for a friend.
Yeah, this hard and it's bad because the way she sound like, she just sound like a bad car that's out of alignment and just like, fucking, I'm just gonna drive down the road and bay off to the left and bay off to the right because I can.
EVE says, spending money on a Lauryn Hill concert is like literally like ripping your money up and tossing it in the trash. She has no respect for her fans. She's extremely unprofessional. She has demonstrated time and time again. I don't think she's worth the aggravation on the strength of one album nearly 20 years ago. Yeah, I can understand that.
Me too.
That conclusion. 50 Cent is trash. He's always been trash and will always be trash. I definitely think he was mad that kid didn't know who he was. I hope Rick Ross's ex takes him to court again. I also hope this kid sues him for emotional distress.
I would too.
And Really Dark Knight says, if you align your dollars for a Lauryn Hill concert, that's all on you. Sorry. And the poll was, who was to blame for Lauryn Hill showing up late? Miss Hill, energy alignment, her fans, or her driver? 0% said her driver.
Put it like this. Her driver got her there. Her driver, he read that GPS. Mm-mm, nothing was his fault.
2% said it's her fans.
No.
It's the fans' fault that she shows up late because they keep paying for it. That's a good point.
If they didn't pay, she would quit showing.
12.5% said energy alignment is at fault.
Oh,
that's true. That's what she said. And 85% of y'all said, come on, it's Miss Hill. She is responsible for her damn self.
She is.
We also had episode 1198, Return the Land. We talked about the effects of Mother's Day on different people and a bunch of other stuff. UNC Hoops 23 says, Karen, I was right there with you when you were talking about Mother's Day, how some people don't have a positive relationship or any relationship with their mother, so they don't talk to their mother on Mother's Day and or have a fuck you attitude. Amen. I know for myself, I never had a good relationship with my mother growing up. So when she left my dad, my sister, and I my senior year of high school, I was over her. All the drama and games. For me, I tried to be civil initially, and that didn't work. So I just cut her out of my life because I didn't need that negativity. I've spoken to her maybe twice in the last 8 to 9 years, and I'm okay with that. Sure, at times I wish I had a mother I could talk to about things, but that's not my reality. I don't need people judging me or looking down on me because I don't speak to her, especially on Mother's Day.
Right.
Those people haven't lived my life or walked one single step in my shoes, and until they have, who are they to judge me and the choices I make for me and my life? Judge not lest you be judged. As for Mother's Day in general, I believe society has been sucked into this mystical TV version of what and who a mother is. Mm-hmm. Society is sucked into the whole mom, dad, and 2.5 kids living in a wonderful house with a nice yard and a fence. My problems with that are, one, welcome to the real world where that is not everyone's reality. Not everyone has a perfect TV family. And two, society fails to realize there are so many types of mothers and ways to be a mother out there that deserve recognition too. You have the single mothers, the adoptive mothers, the lesbian mothers, the stepmothers, and the like of mothers. You have women in relationships with single parents where both parents are very much a part of the child's life, but they are also stepping up to help with the child, and with the child's care. Because of them, that comes with the territory of dating a single parent. You have the teachers or mentors that have stepped up and been that motherly figure for a kid that perhaps has a broken home or just crappy parents. There are so many different ways to be a mother or mother, and it doesn't always mean you're married or you have birth the kids. Personally, I think anyone that contributes to the upbringing, well-being, nurturing, etc. of a child deserves to be recognized for their efforts. The same is true to all the dads in whatever capacity they are dad when Father's Day comes in June.
I agree, that's dope.
Agree with all that. Furthermore, good old Webster, the dictionary defines mother as a noun, a female parent. 2, a mother-in-law, stepmother, or adoptive mother. 3, a term of address for a female parent or a woman having or regarded as having the status, function, or authority of a female parent. 4, a term of familiar address for an older elderly woman. 5, a woman exercising control, influence, or authority like that of a mother. This is all my point of view. Some may agree or disagree, to each their own. Big Juan says, Rod, I usually with your thoughts, I think he meant agree with your thoughts on different topics. Even when I don't agree with you, you do such a good job with your argument that I respect where you're coming from. I think you missed it completely on the Mother's Day article, though. Yes, part of the problem was the title, but the real issue is when it was released. That kind of article can be put out anytime during the year, and when it's done on Mother's Day, it's clickbait and just disrespectful to all mothers. I think Karen summed up the article best when she called it a you problem. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's no place for this kind of article. My whole problem is when it's someone's day and they get shit on. I'm looking forward to the day the internet respects folks enough to just let them have their moment without saying, what about me and my experience? Okay, here's my only thing for that. That article was very relevant to Mother's Day. I don't think there's a better time to put it out. Maybe the day before Mother's Day. Either way, that was her Mother's Day. And she was saying, this is my personal experience. And the article is from a personal place. I don't think we can look at a editorial column like that and be like, no, put it somewhere where it won't be viewed. That's the opposite of what people want from their columns. So I don't mind. Like I said, I'm trying to get to a place where I understand that people have unique experiences and not all of them jive with what I want to see. You know, no one has to read it. And like I said, if the title wasn't that, I think people would have been way more receptive to what she was saying, because what she was saying is actually true. And I think it's a much more common experience than we're willing to give credence to. And I think it's sad that we want to relegate people that aren't having the cliched Mother's Day feelings and mother feelings to this like corner where we don't talk about them. You know, like she was saying, she doesn't feel celebrated, and it's a perfect time to talk about it. Why not? It's Mother's Day, you know. And maybe we reach the conclusion where we're like, hey, that's just a fucked up situation, nothing to be done about it. Or maybe it makes you think about, oh, did I wish you know, for example, in my family, I wish my brother's wife a happy Mother's Day, but I also wish the mother of Layla a happy Mother's Day.
Me too.
I love them both. You know what I'm saying? Sir. So I want them to both understand that we're thinking of them and celebrating them together, no matter what their relationship is with each other. It's important that their relationship with us through their children and through each other is that we love them. They're not some separate entity on the island because they don't fit the certain levels of respectability and shit that come with Mother's Day. So I think while this woman had a unique issue as far as like her specific circumstances, the general idea of Mother's Day being this holiday that we typically see as fathers fumbling with burning breakfast and the kids coming in and letting mom eat breakfast in bed and you know, he quote unquote babysits his own kids and take them to a movie while she watches TV. Like, that's not everybody's reality. Mm-mm. You know, it's the way that people kill themselves during holidays because everybody's reality isn't a big family Christmas. And I think when we do a disservice to ourselves and to society to relegate those people to the margins, or say, well, your story is not important, so don't tell it. Don't give us your Mother's Day experience on Mother's Day. Give us somebody else's. You know, give us the perfect one today. Like, nah, I'm okay with it. There's plenty of other stuff out there that was promoting Mother's Day. Shit, fucking ESPN was 100% Mother's Day. You know, it's a sports channel. Really ain't got shit to do with that. Mm-mm. Every single story was so-and-so and they mama, this person and they mama, this mom did this. We celebrate mothers, but that's cool if one mother says, well, this is how it's affecting me. I don't understand why it's a problem, honestly. And yeah, if we just disagree, we just disagree. I didn't miss it. I'm glad they put it on that day. And I think it would have been backlash no matter what day they put it out, but it deserved to be put out on that day because that was her motherhood experience. Anyway, the poll is Mother's Day. Huh, this is relevant. Man, sometimes it's just like, we so smart. You know, like, how did I come up with this poll that would immediately... anyway, Mother's Day, yay, meh, or boo? 56% of y'all said yay. 42% said meh. I think that number matters a lot. Because I think the yay could be, I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. It could be people, we all have mothers. We celebrate our mothers, you know. I think that matters a lot. And then when you go, meh, it's like, no, it's not, you know, maybe I'm a mom and I don't feel that celebrated. Maybe my mom ain't the greatest mom. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, maybe, not trying funny, maybe my mama passed, so I might feel a completely different way.
Maybe it's not just a huge holiday in my house.
Right.
And then boo was 2%.
2% of y'all like, fuck it.
AW says, to comment about the woman that wrote the Mother's Day article, I'm a happily married mother, and this Mother's Day I got to hold flowers brought on the way to my mother-in-law's by my husband. I was told that these flowers aren't for you, but I got you on your birthday, which is in June. Damn. Hold these flowers for my mama. Oh. So Mother's Day can be shitty sometimes, and it doesn't matter if you're married or not. I agree with you, Rod, that the title is horrible, and she seems to be just venting. Motherhood has its ups and downs, and sometimes the downs happen to fall on or around Mother's Day, as easy as it would be to gripe about my husband's choice. I chose to chalk it up to one of those downs of motherhood. My husband may have something nice planned for my birthday. He just chose piss poor words to say to me that day.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to choose the whatever route rather than cause a stressful argument or get down on yourself.
Right. And see that part right there is where I guess for some people they buck back, because they was like, a lot, but like this, because people treat Mother's Day like this big celebration. Mm-hmm. A lot of women expect this celebration, and when they don't get it, they get very, very angry, because a lot of women would be like, I do not care that my birthday is in June. Today is Mother's Day, and why haven't y'all got me anything?
Right.
But you personally are like, it ain't no big thing, which I completely understand that perspective.
Right.
But for a lot of women, they would have been highly upset, because that goes back to society telling you, you have to be praised this day, you have to be worshipped this day, everybody has to beckon your call, your children are supposed to be perfect, your husband is supposed to, they paint this false picture that's not always true. And like you said, some days, like you say, you gotta be like, but you know what? Sometimes, depending on how you feel, he might have caught you on the wrong day and got a smack flat cussing out because today was not the day to try it. Like, you know, it just mm-hmm. depends, because you're human also.
Right. And like I said, the sentiment behind the article, I think, was relatable.
Right.
Just this idea that Mother's Day can be a huge fucking letdown, even though we're fucking trained to believe that it's going to be this great thing. You know, that's what we're taught as kids. It's like, this is going to be great. Mother's Day, you're going to love it. And then it's like, you get to be an adult and you're like, this shit ain't great. You know? Anyway, KB says, my grandmother had mental health issues and wasn't a good mother to my mom. My mom became a Jehovah's Witness, and they don't celebrate Mother's Day, and I don't ever want kids. I'm pretty much 0-3 on Mother's Day, but I don't begrudge people for whom it is a big event. I do get wished a happy Mother's Day in the grocery store as a 29-year-old white woman. My partner, also white, who I was shopping with was shocked when that happened, but I'm used to it, so I just say thanks and move on.
Right. And it's also one of those things where for a lot of dudes, they kind of are surprised, but women, because like you say, once you get to, I don't know what the magic number is, but once mm-hmm. you look like you ought to have children, I honestly, I think that's across the board. People just automatically wish you have Mother's Day. That's why when he said that, because he said thank you, because I used to be like, no, I ain't got no children, and I got to deal with this 15 fucking minute awkward conversation. Or you got to deal with people inquiring your life, well, why? What's wrong? And shit like that. When you be like, I don't want to have a conversation about how you feel about me deciding and opting not to have children. Oh, you can adopt, bitch, I didn't ask you, just bag groceries. So to avoid all these complex and unnecessary problems, because people just don't want to take you being like, I'm not a mother, I just go thank you.
Right. Yeah. So it's just different perspectives, man. A lot of people have Mother's Day comes in, just doesn't affect everybody in the Hallmark card way, and
right,
it's cool to talk about it. We also had Desert Melancholy. We talked about Gatorade flavors and Game of Thrones and stuff. Played Hoteps Hotepping on the show.
Yeah, that was my jam.
And the poll was a pretty simple one. It was, do you enjoy having spoilers before you watch a show? Because there was a guy who was basically spoiling Game of Thrones every week, mm-hmm, on YouTube, and people were tuning in to his chat. His channel got real popular. People basically spoiling the show for themselves, and I'm not a fan of it, but some people do like it. So 12% of y'all want everything up front. Tell me the spoilers. 88% said they're kind of like me. They just rather wait and see for themselves.
Yeah, and you know what? And I have nothing wrong with the 12%, but out of that 12%, I have something wrong with the 2% who feels like, because they know you ought to know, and you're like, nah, dog, you know, and keep that shit to yourself.
EVE says, I do like spoilers for certain things, particularly shows like The Walking Dead, mainly because the suspense is just too much for me to handle. Knowing what happens ahead of time doesn't ruin my enjoyment, because I like watching the journey of how it happens. I think with some people who enjoy spoilers is that they don't respect that most people don't want to be spoiled,
right,
and love spoiling it for other people. I think it's a sense of having one up on someone else, or it could just be that they're assholes. Yeah. Too much power in the hands of too stupid of people,
right? You know? And you know, and sometimes I make people mad, because I'd be like, well, did you see such and such? They'd be like, no, I ain't seen it yet. They was like, you seen it? I'd be like, yeah. I was like, well, I won't talk about it. I was like, tell me. I was like, nah, I don't. Like, I'm the opposite. I go, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
And people get mad at me for not spoiling. I was like, well, I don't want to take the enjoyment. I'm not trying to find the enjoyment of the journey away from you.
Right. We also had a Game of Thrones recap, where we had our girl, Miss Smart, of the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast on, after Karen discussed it, a shady listener. We reviewed Game of Thrones, and we got a lot of comments. We got 9 comments on this episode.
Oh, y'all had a lot to say, didn't you?
Desiree says, rant, girl, rant! I love when the normally low-key Karen gets that fire and goes off. Tell them, woman. If people can't get the fact that you're open-minded and thoughtful enough to consider all the information and possibly change your mind based on said information, then they're too stupid for you to waste your valuable time on. Love this show.
Thank you, baby. Love you, too.
Farrah says, on Karen, every once in a while, you have to educate people regarding who you are and how to approach you. Respect. On Dem Thrones, I think the old man may know that Bran can affect the past. I think that's why he's so quick to pull Bran out. I think he wants Bran to be more trained before letting him get busy. He may want to protect Bran from making a major impact before he fully understands how the past connects to the past, the present, and the future. Junior Meat X, I don't know how you pronounce this, says, I agree, because you saw his face when Bran called out the Ned. He was almost scared. I think we are going to see Jon Snow getting born in these visions. I think those screams were of childbirth. Maybe.
Possibility.
Fine Rose says, I love Karen. That's it.
Right back at you.
Sugar Bay says, I saw that lady's tweet, and she definitely came at you, Froggy. Karen, fuck her. You have every right to be pissed off. It's amazing that almost every month Rod gets feedback where people say listening to the show has modified or completely changed their minds on certain topics. Mm-hmm. Does that make them weak? Why aren't you afforded the same courtesy? What this lady misses is that changing your mind on things or topics doesn't mean you are completely malleable. Mm-hmm. It indicates a willingness to listen and be open to seeing things from a different perspective, or even changing your opinion when faced with facts. Also, I'm not sure what world they live in where they want you to have shows debating every little disagreement to death. I've been around to see Karen evolve on calling herself a feminist. I understood her reluctance because I've been there. And mm-hmm. I also know that people process things at their own pace.
Right.
Anyways, I got my life when Karen said on this episode, this motherfucker right here, I own this. My name is on this motherfucker. I clutch my chest and then lean into the everlasting arms of King Beezus for support and castor oil because I almost lost my edges. We love you and appreciate you, Karen, motherfucking owner of TBGWT.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thanks, sugar babe. Also, here's the thing. For all the Karen just changed her nine when does nobody remember Chipotle? Did nobody listen to the show last year?
I fought you on that for a long time.
I've been to Chipotle about 5 times in the last 8 months. I used to go to Chipotle like once every week or two. Mm-hmm. We'd be after the show. Oh, let's hit up Chipotle. Now I don't even ask anymore. Just okay. So not Chipotle. What else do we have that's open till 10? Okay. But Karen just changed her mind all the time because I just tell you, motherfuckers. Tiger Allure says, yes, tell these hoes to put some respect on your name when they speak it. It's called being open-minded, a part of communication, that also being open-minded to someone else's thoughts and opinions and or ideas. It's a sign of intelligence and maturity to be able to see or wrap my mind around another person's logic. Keep standing in your truth, boo boo.
Thank you.
Well, you know, the other thing that's funny about this is there's 22 years of love and trust behind the shit we say on this show. So it's not like I'm your opponent in a debate trying to change your mind and get you to my side. I wouldn't tell you something to be like, I'm gonna bend her will to mine. You know, it's such a ridiculous notion.
Right, cause I don't want a robot.
Right. It's such a ridiculous notion. Anyway, JR Meet X also said, Rye, why are you letting Karen speak for you? I feel like her voice, is overshadowing you, my brother. She is a queen, but you are the king. I think that her, what's the lady's version of misogyny? Wosogyny? Yaseogyny? I'm trying to save y'all, and why y'all not having black babies together? I'm just asking the question. I think what you're talking about, brosogyny. And brosogyny is a very serious epidemic that these women are putting down on us.
Right.
Shout out to that one dude who told to stop writing the show. Whatever his name was from that other country. Oh man. He was trying to pay us in bitcoins. Like, nigga, we don't want no bitcoins.
No, bitcoins mean nothing.
Cash, bills, dividend. Neat things to spend. Can't go up to McDonald's like, hey man, take these bitcoins. I got these 2 bitcoins, baby. Mm-mm. I suck your dick.
No, until bitcoins get real value, nope.
But seriously, I genuinely admire you guys' relationship. And don't write us. We know they have real value. Do not write us. One of you motherfuckers right there trying to explain the algorithm behind Bitcoin, I will block the fuck out of you.
I don't want to hear your Pythagorean theorem on Bitcoins, my bad.
Nah. You don't need to apologize. I just know that people going to take that joke and be serious.
Okay.
Cause I've seen them Bitcoin maniacs write into Keith and the girl, and I'll be like, God damn, these niggas are pressed about some goddamn Bitcoin, man. I don't care about that shit.
Nobody.
See, you have to understand the modified value of Pythagorean theorem divided by. Like, nah, man. I pull out a Tubman, it just say 20 on it.
Right. That's what I say. Bitcoin don't come in Tubmans.
Right. 20 of ones. That's what's in there. Mm-mm. But seriously, I genuinely admire you guys' relationship. And Karen has had a strong voice on this show from day one. That's the difference between parroting each other and complimenting each other. You guys compliment each other really well. And Karen's put me in check a few times with her perspective. I try to be an empathic person to issues I have no perspective on. But sometimes I think in a male privilege influence way, Karen's perspective gives me the important check I need. And I truly respect her for that. I know you guys are going to be true to yourself without this input, but I just wanted to say I value Karen's perspective a lot. And you too, Rod. Thank you for being you. Oh, and rest in peace, Shaggy Dog and Rakan, eventually. Oh, Rakan.
Thank you, sweetie.
EVE says, Karen, you are a lot calmer than I would have been. That girl was way out of line. And then she tried to walk that shit back. I just hope you know that the show would not be the same without you, Karen, and that you're loved and appreciated.
Thank you, sweetie.
Imani says, hey Karen and Rod, y'all don't have to justify a motherfucking thing. We all see the bullshit these trolls are playing, and it's so whack. Y'all are the king and queen for a reason, and please believe we're going to show you that love back 1,000 times. Nobody who's paid attention to this show can think you don't speak your mind, Karen, and I'd be a goddamn lie if I heard you bite your tongue for anyone. This show wouldn't be work if the two of you didn't flow together so well. It's just so crazy to see all the mental backfillers people go through to deny that they have a problem with black women being themselves and happy. Nigga, that's a word right there. Who said this? Imani? That's a word right there. Like, how many more lemonade pieces I gotta read where I'm just like, can you just say you don't like black women? I mean, it would be easier. It would save a lot of typing. I hate to see black women smiling. I'm like, okay, there you go.
Just tell the truth.
Say 5,000 words.
Right.
There's so much jealousy that they tried to code switch and hide themselves all their lives, and they still never been able to achieve a fraction of the success you two, and especially Karen, have been being your authentic self. Anyway, great recap as always. Y'all are the best in the business. I still need to know what Littlefinger's up to, right? Nigga, so worried about him. All these northern lords joining Ramsay, I know he's not staying still, and if the Umbers know it wasn't poison, you know Walder Frey does too. Bam! That's what I'm saying. What's Walder Frey up to? They gonna have to kill Walder Frey preemptively. That's the only thing I could think of.
And like, that's an old man.
Who hosted the Red Wedding.
Right, because his daughter died. Oh, he gonna be upset.
And not just his daughter, but his heir to the North, essentially, you know.
Right.
Because Roose was taking over. Like, hey, man.
Because that was the only reason why the alliance was even put together.
Look, I'm not saying that they have to kill, they will kill him. I don't know what's gonna happen on the show, but I will understand that they just tilled his ass now, because he definitely ain't gonna be cool with that shit. Anyway, the poll was that listener's tweet intentionally shady? This never happens. 100% yes, she meant that shit. And 0% no, she had no clue. You ain't got the answer says, I find it extremely annoying that women are the main ones attacking Karen under the disguise of just asking a question or just saying, sometimes you don't have to say shit, just be quiet. I've been listening for about a year now, and I've actually learned how to disagree with my spouse in a healthy way, partially because of you guys. She thinks Karen getting more information to see things differently as being a pushover is just foolishness. It's actually pretty awesome to have a spouse that you can learn from. Isn't that what love and life is all about? Tell a girl, bye. Lemonade, sorry voice. I'll say this too, in a large extent, like, it says what people are used to, and it says a lot about their personal relationships, that they would see the way we talk to each other, and typically they attribute it to the woman, but this idea that she backs down, that like secretly she must have another opinion that disagrees with this, but she just like, it's like the insecurity within them is extrapolated onto Karen, and then they use that to be like, well, that's just Karen backing down because somehow she's afraid of to disagree with me, which is which says a lot about them, you know.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing, a lot of people are in a lot of relationships that they can't be open, they can't be honest, they have to shut down, you know, for whatever reasons that they feel like they need to. And like you said, a lot of times they take that thing and they feel like, well, why aren't you speaking up, or why aren't you talking out, when a lot of times the problem is not me, the problem is within themselves and them fixing their own relationships.
Yeah, that's what I think, and I think it happens both ways, like, you know, the dude that used to write in and, Rod, I love your beard and all this shit, and I'm dating a teacup woman, and it's like, you know, it try to praise like just only certain opinions of mine, but then, you know, kind of ignore certain opinions of yours or compliment like other shit about you. Like, it, we see it all, you know what I'm saying? Like, we see through it. It's just like I said, we're used to the feedback that tells stuff about them. And like, and for the record, it's not even just women that attack Karen, it's men. Like, what the point is, most people that dislike something about the show will always aim at the female host, and this is not just our show, it's pretty much every show,
because the weakest link. I've seen it done on Where's My 48, because I've seen right. It done on other formats.
Like, unless it is unless it's like a host that just says inflammatory shit all the time or something, like to purposely make it about, hey, fight me. The default is to talk about women, their vocal tone, their inflections,
their opinions,
right, their accents, like their everything, their appearance, like it just goes about women constantly, man, which is, you know, so I'm so proud of what we created, and I'm so proud of what the feedback show is, because, you know, we have cultivated a area where it's mostly positive and it's an interaction with fans and it's cool. And a lot of shows will never be able to do that, you know?
Right. And before you go on, something else I can say, mm-hmm. A lot of my, particularly speaking across the mic, I also contribute that to the audience, because for a very long time, I really didn't think anybody was listening to me, but it was all jokes that it was you guys' feedback, you guys' input, you guys saying, hey, I like your voice, or I enjoy your voice, your laughter is everything to me. You know, you guys saying I value your opinion and shit like that. Like, I've been hearing that consistently over the years. And so that right there lets me know that I am valued and people are listening. And so it's just one of those things where, to me, I know that I do have a voice. I know that people are listening. And, you know, a lot of that is because of you guys, honestly. And it's one of those things where, my husband, he had to push me and encourage me, because, like, a lot of what you hear is me, but for a long time it took me a while to get the confidence to speak across the mic as freely as I do now. Off mic, it will be a whole nother story. I was like, well, you could have said that on the show, you right. know. But as time went on, I realized that this is my platform. I own it. I have the right to speak on it, and my voice is just as valuable as anybody else's.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just find this idea that somehow you would be I don't know, I just hate that there's so much pressure on women in podcasting and other areas. There's nothing I can really do about it, but it just sucks, you know. It's like all the onus just falls to, everything is a woman's fault, and it continues to be. And it's not on some, like, because I'm so protective of Karen, I'm saying it's just not even, it's never fair, you know. It's not like, before we even get to the she's my wife part of this equation, which, you know, obviously is frustrating, and, you know, what we do, I couldn't do with anybody else, but also just this fact that, you know, you're my show partner, but you're also my wife. It's not even the paternalistic, patriarchal, like, I have to protect my wife from these people. It's just, it would be unfair no matter who was my host. If she was a female, she would be getting these sorts of, like, attacks.
Yeah, it's the same criticism. I feel like society in general treat women or anybody that identifies as a woman as a second class citizen, period. And people don't want to admit that you're automatically considered a second class citizen. And it's just one of those things where, because in our society people put value on women's looks, their appearance, how much they weigh, how their hair, their eyes, all these physical parts of you, that a lot of times that's kind of the first things that they begin to attack, because the thing is, they feel like if they quote unquote attack your character, they can continue making you feel less than. A lot of times they want you to feel less than, because if you don't feel less than as a woman, that means that that particular person no longer has control. And when people don't have control, they have problems when they don't have control. And I think for me, that's a lot of reasons why people particularly attack me, because when I talk and I speak and I tell how I feel and I voice my opinion, for a lot of people, all they hear, honestly, is a bitch that Roderick is not, quote unquote, keeping in check. Mm-hmm. You know, all they hear is somebody that Roderick should constantly interrupt and constantly tell me what to do and constantly keep me in my place. And a lot of this stems from, particularly with males, with how dare you let her have a voice? How dare you let her voice her opinion? How dare you let her think she's somebody? How dare you let her view herself as an equal to you? And I think it's still, and a lot of women, honestly, sad, feel the same way. How dare you speak up like you're somebody? How dare you speak up, you know, like you can quote unquote be an equal to a man? And it's just one of those things that a lot of times when you start speaking back, they're not ready for that, because most women, because society teaches us not to be confrontational. Let's just keep that real in general. And growing up as a woman, if you're confrontational, you're considered a problem, you're considered a bitch, you know, you're considered a tomboy. Something's wrong with you for being confrontational and not being a human being and looking at somebody going, I'm not gonna take this shit, I don't care. You know, it's more of, I can come and shit and do anything to you, and you're just supposed to quote unquote take it, be the quote unquote weaker link, the woman, and deal with it. But at the same time, if the roles were reversed and somebody was saying this to a man, he'll be applauded for speaking up, he'll be applauded for going off, he'll be applauded for these things. Shit, a lot of dudes are quote in our society even applauded for turning around and punching a woman for saying something to him, because you have this pent-up aggression and all these problems and issues, and it all stems from personal problems that you have with women.
Yeah, just two quick examples. We talked about this last year, but I just bring it up now. There's this thing called vocal fry and uptalk that people complain about in podcasting. They're both things women do.
Right.
And it's really just how women talk.
Correct.
And people will say upspeak and vocal fry. They'll write in to NPR about it. And NPR has a form email response that they send to people. It's the same one, and it's basically, we've never gotten this this complaint about a man. Yeah, ever.
It's generic. The thing will scan and be like, oh, female voice, we're not even gonna waste that time.
Reply, we've never had this sent by a man, about a man. So it's just, and like, people don't like calling that out, but it's just sexism. And
right.
The other thing, and you know, I try to be mindful of this as well, but it happens because it's natural what we do. We're talking, we have a conversation. Both of us kind of can cut each other off, cut our guests off.
Yeah, we can.
You know, guests can cut us off. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, it happens. I'm not, but men are prone to interrupting women more than, you know, the other way around.
Yes.
You know, we cut women off in the middle of their thoughts, in the middle of their things all the time. And I tried to stifle that on my end, because it's, you know, like, sometimes I'll see people, or I'll be like in the chat room or something, it'll be like, oh, right, was Rod doing something else? So why is Rod saying anything? Is he frozen? It's like, no, Karen's talking. So that's just 2 minutes what Karen's talking. I don't, like, it happens for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sometimes it's nothing to say, or the guest, or sometimes I'll say something and I'll kind of hear the guest in the background because the way our sound is set up, and I'm like, oh, what'd you say? Go, you know, and maybe it's just, I agree, you know, whatever. But what happens is, because I think it's, we're all victims of this conditioning. I'll be like, okay, you sound like you were about to say something, and the person is like, oh, yeah, I was just saying, they'd be like, no, that's the first response. It's like, no, but I was saying, and then they were gonna say something,
right?
But as a society, we kind of like train women to be like, well, the time passed, no need for your opinion after this point, you know, when they might be about to say something really fucking good.
They a lot of times, and just society, they're almost shocked and surprised that we came back around to them. But everybody's voice is valuable. And like you say, we live in a society, and actually even our ears are trained from children, honestly, to kind of hearken to male voices. And that's something that, you know, people need to have a tendency to break also, because the male voice, now it's kind of funny, even if it's just as soft and even softer than a woman, you know, just right, the quality of the voice. But if it comes from a male, it just has a tendency to hearken people's attention. The direction will be pulled that way. They'll look in that direction, you know, regardless of who is coming out of, you know, because you do have some women with deeper voices, but even with her deeper voice, it doesn't matter because it's coming from a female. So it's automatically disregard it as not valuable.
Yeah, I'm just saying. All right, we got voicemail. Speaking of voices,
okay.
I don't think I screened all of these, so hopefully,
okay, if it's some BS, we'll make the decisions. All good
stuff.
Hey, Rod and Karen, this is Iman. I was just calling because I was listening to the show, and it just dawned on me. I don't know if you guys ever discussed it or brought it up before, but how does the official weapon become the taser? I mean, there's lots of different weapons out there. So I just wondering if there's a story behind that. You know, the official weapon could have been like a crossbow or nunchucks, baseball bat, barbed wire on it, vegan. Okay, but that's all. All right, love the show as always, bye bye.
Thank you for writing in.
Thank you, sweetie. You mean calling? You said writing in.
Calling in. Yes, leave a voicemail. Don't you ever correct me on the mic, woman.
I know, right? How dare I?
I changed my opinion. It's calling, guys. It's calling in. But no, the taser, we just were like, so many people getting shot and killed by the police. I would rather just get tased.
Right. I'd rather have a taser than a hot bullet any day.
Yeah. So it's just what's worse, tasing or shooting.
Right.
So maybe just tase people a little bit more. Maybe get a little less, black death at the hands of the police.
Right.
So that's how it happened.
Yes.
All right. Next voicemail.
Hey, Rod and Karen, this is Kayla from West Louisville, also known as Long A Short A, and Rod, I hate your ass. It is the butt crack of dawn, and my local squirrely NPR DJ decided to play the very type of old school rap song you were talking about in episode 2. Crappers, 1199, it was called The Home of Hip Hop by, you know what, please delete this message.
Delete the message? All right. Stop the message, but, I'm sorry to wake you up.
I think we played that all the way to the end.
Yeah, I'm sorry to wake you up with my maybe NPR listening to our show. I don't know.
Who knows?
I have been interviewed on that before, so maybe that's what happened. But that's pretty good. The ones and the twos that would get the speaker.
Yes!
Go get a cord and a microphone. It's just 4 a.m. and your mama ain't home.
Ah!
Them niggas used to, it was like, you connect the green wire to the black. Put it in the speaker and down the back. Like, yeah. Yo, man, I don't want to learn how, I'm listening to the song. To have a good time, not to learn how to make the song. Anyway, next.
Hi, this is Marissa. Well, we spoke earlier, and I wanted to once again reaffirm my support of homegirl Karen. There's something about people who, if you're not all in the battle of the wars of the sexes, that there's got to be something wrong. I think there's something about you, too, where you have this commonality and certain beliefs that you have that people are like, well, that's not possible. Husband and wife who agree with stuff, that can't be real. They got to be Al and Eric Bundy. But that's not it here nor there. But I appreciate how Karen just said, enough of this. I'm not here for it because I'm not here for you. Because I'm one of these people where you're not going to say anything you want to me. You know, I don't fly off the handle all the time. But I'm one of these people where you're just not going to say anything. You're going to get read. I get spoiled around if it's about my mama. But that's neither here nor there. But I just want y'all to tell the world that they need to back up off your lady. Matter of fact, Cannon, I don't see you. The back up on it too. I saw you on that Twitter link. I was high mind to call the white cookie. You know that cookie meme when she's high minded going there, that yellow wig? Girl, you had me hiding too. But I appreciate it though, because it needed to be said. People get out of pocket on the internet, think it's a free for all, and they can say anything, and that's not how it always goes. Also, I appreciate y'all for letting me know how many people attack each other with swords. I not know that. Apparently, it's more than I thought outside of martial arts movies. So thank you for that. I appreciate y'all. I'm gonna keep listening. I'll be premium soon. Love you. Bye.
Oh, thank you,
sweetie. Yeah, we got to talk to her on Balls D because we was drunk.
Yeah, she called it during Balls D, but Justin was like, "I dare you to answer it." We answered it. I know she didn't understand any of the drunk ramblings.
Oh yeah, baby, we was drunk. We enjoyed you. Thank you for being on the show.
But thank you for calling in. Thank you for your support,
calling back.
Karen. And honestly, man, I don't really talk too much about it because I think people have been hurt significantly with a lot of from gender, each gender and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, shit, I've been at like family functions where it turns into black men do this, black women do that, and it's just sad to me that we have so much hurt and pain and we take it out on each other. But sometimes, you know, that enters our podcasting space too, where there's people that come in with all that hurt and pain and they want to somehow make us voice it as well. And I don't think we have to do that. I'm not saying that that is not real or doesn't have real effects, but I'm not going to get on this microphone and perpetuate that shit.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, next.
Yo, Ryan, yo, Karen, it's your boy, Drew in the A, man. First things first, I don't understand. I don't know how y'all do it. I don't understand how y'all deal with the trolls day in, day out, and still put out a great, consistent product. Y'all are the beacon of black podcasting. I mean, I would say y'all are like, you know, the abolitionists of black podcasting, trying to set black people free on the podcasting and you know, in the other social front. And I greatly appreciate all the work you do, because pretty much, yeah, this is a 24/7 type of industry, and y'all keep consistently grinding things out, you know. And I greatly appreciate the time and the grind and the blood, sweat, and tears that y'all put in to put out a great, consistent product. Also, I don't understand why the trolls troll when they're not putting in. Even if they were putting in, they still don't own you guys, so I just don't understand people that don't have not even a micron of skin in the game behaving such savage ways. I understand it's the internet, man, but it's still fucked up, you know, in theory and in reality. So I just came to send some positive vibes y'all way. You know, I can't wait to see y'all panel at Awesome Time, because pretty much I go there every year now to see Chris and Sterling. And then it was a great addition to see you guys on the panel. And I've always wanted to meet you guys. So I just need a picture. We can go on about our business. Y'all continue to drop that work on them. Y'all keep it moving. Y'all take care now. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, I'm really, really, not to get off topic, but I'm really, really excited about Awesome Con and meeting everybody, and don't feel afraid, I'll be more than happy to take a picture and all kinds of stuff. I am really looking forward to it. Put like this, I think, I can't speak for Roger, but I'm just as excited as y'all is. Might be a little bit more nervous than y'all are. I was like, am I gonna disappoint them?
Yeah, I'm not as excited, but that's just how I work. I think I'll show up. I think once I get there, I'll be excited and I'll be happy to meet everybody. But in my mind right now, I'm just kind of like, oh God, I just hope everything goes right. And
I think I'm more nervous about the panel.
Nobody crazy shows up. I got a punch in their face. I'm not worried about the panel either. That's going to be easy. It's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. About to kill this shit.
Panel gonna be fun. I cannot wait. So I'm excited.
We're gonna be there like panel. panel.
Yeah, we gonna have.
I got pods in Atlanta. Sorry.
Yeah, pods in Atlanta. We got them everywhere. I'm looking forward to it. And so, for those of you, I know some people are like, well, I don't know nothing about Awesome Con. I'm buying tickets to come and see y'all. Thank you. We looking forward to it.
We're getting that response a lot.
So we just really, really looking forward to it. We're actually going to be there Saturday, June the 6th. I want to say, hold on. I don't want to get that date wrong. Saturday, June the 4th at 8 p.m. We don't have a room number yet, but as soon as we get the room number, we'll make that public.
Yeah, we're supposed to go to... What was it, somewhere after Penn Social?
Penn Social, yeah, which is within walking vicinity, because some people say, well, I can't make it to AwesomeCon, but I'll make it to the Penn Social. So for those people that don't meet us at AwesomeCon, you can meet us at Penn Social. So really looking forward to that. People are like showing that they bought their tickets and they're excited to come. And so I'm really, really excited. I'm ready to take the pictures. I'm ready to have a good time. I'm ready to talk, because, you know, we read you guys emails and we get all this interaction, but pretty soon I'll be able to put faces with names. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next voicemail, which is, I believe from the same person. Let me see here.
Yo, this is Drew again. I forgot to address Karen, since apparently people feel like they got to step out their way and address Karen. But Karen, you keep doing your thing, love. You know, I love that laugh. Great. There's no amount of words that I can say to you that would express the feeling that I have when you get up and you get on this mic and you spit that hot fire like Dylon, 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 and Dylon. So you keep it up, beautiful. You keep it moving, and we'll holla holla. Peace.
Thank you, baby.
Thanks, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where was he at? Next, we got one from Ty Diamond.
Hey, Rod and Karen. What's going on? It's Ty giving you guys a call.
Hey, baby.
So I just got done listening to the Medium talk, that you did with that guy. And, my thoughts aren't all in order, but I felt the need to call in. I've known you guys for like maybe, listened to you guys for, seven years.
I'm around in there.
From the job.
And, you know, at a certain time, I mean, you guys have always had trolls and, you know, entertaining for the clap back because you guys, you know, show no mercy, but, I just wanted to give you guys some love. You know, publicly, and just let you know, Karen, keep smacking your lips, keep talking how you talk, keep doing your thing. Rod, man, hang in there, y'all. Just keep doing what y'all do. I just know, you know, all the love is out here for you guys.
Oh.
So, you know, Karen, stay strong and y'all keep doing. Keep doing what y'all do, man. It sucks that there's people out there that just, you know, can't let just a husband and wife do their thing and prosper out there, man. So y'all just keep doing what y'all do, man. And y'all know we got y'all back. Peace.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been on top for a very long time. Thank you, sweetie.
Oh, we must be that bitch. Because we causing all this conversation.
Apparently so.
And as far as that kind of shit, man, people that like us far outnumber people that have problems with us. Mm-hmm. And the trolls and the shit, so it's cool, you know. That dude just had a lot of issues that I don't even know if he's aware of them. A lot of anti-blackness. He has a lot of issues with the white gays, you know. You could just tell, like, he's you know, one of those people that probably doesn't like black women. Just the things he was saying about Karen said a lot about his fear of black women, you know, especially an unapologetically black woman like Karen, you know, that isn't afraid to speak her mind and has her own point of view, her own sense of humor and her own mannerisms and her own, you know, the way she talks and stuff. I mean, and you know what's funny is you can't help but love Karen anyway, so... even as he was complaining, he was saying she gets better every show. Karen's been doing this show for 7 years. She ain't changed. You change. It grows on you because you're like, she's charming. She's funny. She's witty. She has her own perspective and her own voice. And what happens is you start to understand her accent a little bit more.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't know why I was thinking that shit in the first place. The difference between that guy and most other people is, if they feel that way, they're at least smart enough to not say shit right away. Cause I guarantee there's other people that love us now, but at some point we're like, I've never heard a woman talk like this. Is this in character? Is she trying to put on a front?
Right. Is it a show? And we've had people that was like, it took me a while to get used to your voice, or your voice is very different, or I had to get used to your accent. And it's just one of those things where Roderick can contest as far as like our personalities. Like I said, he's an introvert, I'm an extrovert, so I'm going to be the one that's more reaching. I'm going to be the one, but I, hey, how you doing, like, but that's just me.
Yeah, and I can't help that you feel some level of shame or some like this eye watching you enjoy us, because we're gonna be unapologetically us. We're gonna look, there's people that probably don't like that we say nigga so much and cuss and shit. It's
right.
it is what it is. We're not here to fit into your little box. So if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. It would behoove you to move the fuck on without saying shit about it. Cause we don't need to be notified that you're insecure about what we do. Honestly. And I think that's what that dude, right. You could tell from the whole, she smacks into the mic and she talks like, you know, just all this. And I'm just like, why don't you like black women? What happened to you? You know, page full of white people. You know, this DJ page full of white weddings. I'm like, niggas don't even hire you. You probably be playing Aerosmith and shit. Come on, man. Get the hell out of here. You look like a lady. And yeah, shit like that.
That's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But every now
you need something wrong with it. Change your opinion.
You need some panda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
See? White folks like panda too.
He probably paid a white version of panda.
Oh, no.
Panda.
Panda.
I got brought in Atlanta.
What's the yams? That's what he playing. No. Hey, you make them mad.
This is Natasha P. just calling in to show you guys some love this week. Not that you really need it. But after folks try to come for you guys, especially Miss Karen, you know, I get a little heated. So I wanted to give a little testimonial. I fell in love with your show from just about the first listen. But wanted to talk about my husband, how I got him to become a stan, and talk about how some people who are from different areas of the country, we're in New Jersey, he's a New Yorker, have a bias, right, against things that may sound a little bit different. So Karen's voice has never bothered me. I think it's wonderful. It just sounds like hugs and butterflies and sunshine. But when I first was listening to the podcast and was sharing episodes with my husband, he enjoyed it, but he wasn't used to hearing a pronounced Southern accent. And of course I side-eyed him because I am a fan above all other things, right? But he's not an asshole most times, right? And he didn't feel the need to send in any feedback talking about something that you can't control. Your accent reflects where you're from, how you were brought up. And all it took was more consistent listening for him to really become enamored with it, to fall in love with Karen's voice along with everything else that makes your show wonderful. And it wouldn't be the same show if it wasn't you guys, two folks who are from the South, Karen who sounds like down home. That's part of the magic of the show. So people who try to come for Karen, try to, I don't know, maybe they are in love with you, Rod, and they want to break up your marriage. I don't know where that comes from, but it makes me mad, and I wanted to offer up a testimonial and illustrate how someone might not be used to hearing something, but with just a little bit of time, becomes one of your biggest fans. We're a two premium household. We love you guys. So just wanted to ramble a little bit, I guess, show you guys some love, and let you know we're your biggest fans. So hope you're having a great day. Peace.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, like I said, I think people have that reaction all the time. I remember I used to listen to back when Larry had a podcast, I used to listen to Larry's podcast, and he had this lady on there from New York, and she had the most like New York accent, mm-hmm. like stereotypical, like in like past year, like loving hip hop people on there do not do her accent justice. And you know, at first it was kind of like hard to understand or whatever, because I had never really heard a woman that talked like that. But at no point did I think, well, she's not funny, she's mm-hmm. annoying, she's bad for the show, Larry should go solo or what. I never had any issues with her. It made me think I want to be able to understand everything she's saying, so I will just listen more. And you know, and she was a cool ass person. So you know, I just think people have the reaction. I don't think it's unrealistic to be like, I couldn't understand how Karen talks or something. That's not a problem for mm-hmm. me. But when it goes to the level of just disrespect and outright hating that some people take it to, that's when I have a problem with it. And like I said, it's, Karen doesn't quote unquote get better at talking every week. She's not trying to. So it's that what you're hearing is just getting used to it and being like, oh, I like her now because I understand more, or I get it and I realize that she's just being herself. And people love people are drawn to people who love being themselves. That's all it is. All right. let's see. Next voicemail.
Hey, Rod and Karen, this is Marv178 for Twitter. I just want to say, man, I love you guys. I love your show. I think you guys do the best version of what you do. It's so well done, and I love everything you do. And don't listen to anybody telling you to stop doing what you're doing because it's successful. They have no idea what they're talking about. You guys are doing great, man. And Karen, I love your voice. It's so comforting. It reminds me of my family members and my loved ones. And it just, you being your authentic self is the best thing you can be. And I love it. So don't listen to anybody telling y'all need to change. I think y'all are doing the best, one of the best podcasts. I listen to y'all every week faithfully. And I'm sure whoever criticizes you does it too. And that's why it makes no sense to me. I love y'all. I think y'all are great. I hope y'all continue to have much, much more success. Bye.
Thank you. Yo, you want to know what's funny? One person wrote into the show and was like, I agree with that woman that Karen changes her opinion and shit. So because of the miracle of the internet, I was able to just search their name through the rest of my Gmail and see, like, had they ever interacted before, because the name seemed familiar. Bingo, they wrote months ago saying that Karen was wrong about Bernie Sanders and why didn't I correct her and give her the right information.
Yeah,
and of course,
why didn't
this
you
person
put me in my place.
Yes. And of course, this person, you know, all the things that typically people who don't agree with us have: bad spelling, bad grammar, misspell, you know, just, it was bad. It was real bad. He used like five periods between sentences or whatever, right? And I have a folder that I call idiots that I put people like that in, just to keep an archive of like, man, look at this idiot. So I just put it in the idiot folder and just whatever, you know. But it was funny, they said, well, now Karen, her opinion is she always backs down to what I say. And I was like, so why did you write this earlier email?
They probably didn't even remember,
because I remember that conversation about the Bernie Sanders thing, and I was like, well, I don't think it's that, Karen. You were just like, wow, fuck him, I ain't doing it, I ain't voting for him, I don't like him. And I was like, okay, so I mean, we move on. What the fuck? I'm gonna make you go in this booth and vote the way I say. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or whatever. It was just like, you had your opinion on him, and I remember being like, don't email us about the part of this that, you know, you disagree with. We tired of Bernie emails, okay? We was tired of them. But the point being, he emailed us anyway. Go figure. It flips so quick, right? It's whatever a troll can say that they think will get under your skin. So today, right, it's Karen's wishy-washy and she'll do whatever I say. The other day it was, she won't listen to you. Why won't you put her in her place? Just trolling. It's just for the attention. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. And shout out to Gmail and their filters, man. Cause you know, I filter that shit right to trash now, but it's just so funny to see people, go out of their way to try to get that attention, man. We appreciate you, Marwan, for writing in.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, calling in. Anyway, next voicemail.
Hey, man. I'm sorry for calling in again, but I'm in the process of listening to that Medium talk, and now we have to hail you, Cal Ride, Father of Dragons, Khaleesi Karen, Queen of Tanking. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
thank you. Yeah, that dude was an interesting character. All right, let's read the emails and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We got one about the spoil movie review. Let me make sure there's no spoilers in it.
Oh yeah, because it is for spoil movie reviews.
Okay. Yeah, it says fuck Captain America. listen, on Twitter, I had a really long, in-depth breakdown of why Captain America Civil War was so good, and why the Civil War is, in my opinion, the reasons are better than even in the comic. But and the way they crafted this and built this through the characters for years is just amazing.
Right.
Anyway, hey, Captain Rod and Scarlet Karen, I saw the new Captain America movie last night and I loved it. All the heroes are done really well. The action scenes are top notch. The villain was different from the villains we usually get, and the dialogue between the heroes is great. I don't know if most people will agree with me on this one, but after the movie was over, I couldn't help but think, this nigga Cap is fucked up. Even though it all worked out in the end, this dude Cap started all this shit over one nigga. I know that's his dog and all, but come on, bruh. You gonna go up against the United Nations because you couldn't believe your homie is an asshole? And the fact that he knew all about the death of the spoiler, he chose to wait till he got showed a video of it on YouTube to cape for Bucky and try to lie about it at first like he ain't know. I don't take this away from the movie at all, though, because it does make the story more interesting and it kind of causes the audience to choose sides themselves. I was wondering if anybody else saw it that way besides me. A few people did.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this much. I've always thought the conflict of Civil War in the comic books was it got a little silly between the two sides, but they found a way to make Iron Man's side completely justified in this movie.
Yes, sir.
And that's something that the comic books never really did.
Yes, sir. And shout out to Tony, because he's a good performer. But I think Tony Stark.
Robert Downey Jr. Tony?
Yes, Tony Stark.
Okay.
that's
well, you say, like, he's a good performer.
Yeah. Tony Stark.
Robert Downey, how good he is. No, I was just going, the only reason I stopped you is that's how good he is. Sometimes right. I be seeing him in other shit like, oh, Tony Stark in a movie.
Right, because I keep saying, yeah, put it, Tony Stark's playing Iron Man, put it like that. As far as I'm concerned, he plays Iron Man. And the thing I love about him is that his face, like, it's certain things and he emotes, like his face emotes, and you could understand his perspective. And it's one of those things, but after going back and kind of watching all the Iron Mans, you could see him growing and developing, and you'd be like, okay, you've actually made this role better. Like I believe if I was to ever go back and read some of these Iron Mans, I would see you. If I see anybody else, I'd be mad, so I might not go back and read them.
Well, let me nerd out for a second, if y'all don't mind. My thing is, we watch Iron Man develop, like, their mentality, it makes sense that they would have beef between right. Captain America and Iron Man. The reason that it makes sense to me that they would have beef is look at their powers and look at their development through the years.
Right.
Let's start with Tony Stark. Tony Stark basically is about controlling and mitigating the damage he caused.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Selling those weapons he sold, destruction. Those weapons and arms that he sold as an arms dealer went to some bad people and took people's lives and almost took his life. And it was only then that he even realized the ultimate impact of what the fuck he was putting out into the world. And his saving grace was that he basically, through the kindness of this Jensen or whatever, got the suit that is the thing that kept him alive, but it's also the thing that saved him. And he ends up being inspired to go and fix the damage he's done to the world himself. And everything he did was about mitigating his own damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people trying to make suits to catch up to him. It's stopping that in Iron Man 2. Iron Man 3 and his reliance on suits, everybody was trying to do the extremist there were dudes in extremists to catch up to the suit. Like, it was a way of putting a suit on a person, almost making a person a suit. So even that was him cleaning up his own mess. Like, so many of his problems are literally of his own design. And we're talking about a guy who uses coordination and teamwork, even when it's with robots, right? That's like Ultron. That is Tony's fault.
Yeah. And the thing about Age of Ultron, if people have been really paying attention to like just the series of going through the series of movies, they've constantly had conflicts with each other. They fell out with Ultron. Like they've been these tiny conflicts that they quote unquote, you think they resolved them, but shit just don't go away just because y'all get together and beat the bad guy of the movie. Like that shit kind of lingered on.
Cause they're ideological differences. They can't be solved by beating a villain. They actually do disagree, and it's coming to a head. And so also, Tony's solution to things as a technopath is basically to put a suit of armor around the world. Like, remember when he had the initiative that with the robots that come and they fix stuff after the Avengers break it? Like, once again, Tony's power is we cause all this damage and then I have to figure a way out to fix the damage. It would make so much sense. It makes 100% sense that he's on the side of the Sokovia Accords, because he's like, I've been trying to find a way to mitigate the damage from jump. My entire purpose is to mitigate the damage that I do. I am a destructive person in my ultimate. The ultimate version of Tony's unbridled ego unchecked is Ultron. It talks like him, it jokes like him, it thinks like him, and it logics, it didn't have the morality of Tony, but it logiced its way out to, apparently we gotta kill everybody, cause that's the only way to keep humans from damaging themselves.
Right, is that they don't exist.
Right, like there'll always be war, we have to fucking install, like, that is Tony. Tony's a totalitarian at heart, and I think that, you know, his control issues and stuff like that are what lead him to be completely in line with this idea. Now, the thing is, he's still a hero, and he still feels like he's kind of the exception to the rule. And, right. And I think that's, you know, both sides kind of had that side. Now with Cap, let's look at him. He's the opposite. And people thought, well, Cap would sign up because the UN and having oversight, these are kind of values that a soldier would agree with, right? Wrong. Cap's entire journey over the past movies has been about him learning to distrust government and distrust organizations.
With S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that stuff.
S.H.I.E.L.D. turned out to be Hydra. Mm-hmm. You remember in the very first Avengers, he finds out S.H.I.E.L.D. is harboring weapons of mass destruction and not telling people about it. And he's pissed.
Right, he was not here for it.
Yeah, he shows up, he's like, did y'all fucking know about this? Like, his thing is one man fighting the bullies and is the only thing that can really be trusted. Like, even his team in the Avengers, I think he sees it as a collection of individuals that are like-minded, that understand the responsibility they have to the world to go and stop things, whether it's politically right or not. And his ultimate fear is that he'll be like Bucky, a controlled super soldier that is given instructions and doesn't have a moral compass and ends up doing shit that really isn't right and they wouldn't do if they had the autonomy and the power to do for themselves. So to me, when people see the idea of oversight and checks and balances, what he sees is just another level of easily corrupted people that can decide for them. He's gone through this multiple times. Mm-hmm. So of course he's like, fuck them. No, I don't want six dudes in suits deciding what the fuck we do, because I'm not going to sit on TV and watch TV while some country is getting destroyed because y'all decided it wasn't politically expedient, or y'all have been corrupted so much that you won't send me something. You won't license me to do the right thing. And I don't trust you, so who's gonna keep you in check?
Yeah, and the thing about Captain America, if you go all the way back to the first Captain America, you know, he was just a little weakling boy who ended up getting this serum, this thing that made him really, really strong, whatever that concoction they did.
Yeah, super soldier serum.
Right, and it's one of those things where, you know, it was follow the rules, and he just followed the rules, and he can see the end results in Bucky in just following the rules.
He fought in the war. He was in the World War where follow the rules got a lot of people killed.
A lot of y'all. He's over 100 years old.
Right. So like it makes sense to me. Both sides make sense to me. So while I didn't walk away feeling like fuck Cap necessarily in the, because I'm on Tony's side, I walked away feeling like they crafted a narrative through, I don't know, 11 or 12 movies at this point. They crafted a narrative that makes it feasible that both people would arrive to the different conclusions, even presented with the same evidence. And they gave me a good payoff on that, and I can't be more happy to give Marvel my motherfucking money because they killed it. And that's before you even get to I don't care. What? And
that's my favorite phrase,
right? That's before you even get to that, you know, like he just, you know, I am not my father. Like, you, before you get to that, you're just at you know, I'm just at these two dudes falling out completely reasonable. And then that kicker at the end, you're just like, yo, it's gonna take a few movies for these niggas to ever be cool
men
again.
This and that's if they been it,
if they even been right. It. Somebody might got to die,
right? You just never know, because I mean, it got real in them streets.
Yeah, shout out to Black Goliath from comic book readers. Anyway, I was wondering if anybody else saw this way besides me. Also, I loved how every time they went to a new location, like the beginning of a Beyonce video. I gotta find a way to get one of those Panther statues in my house. My apologies if this is long, but love the show. Keep on rocking in the free world. Thank you, Dom.
Thank you, sweetie.
Sorry for the nerd out, y'all. Y'all probably, I'm like, this the nerd off? Nope. Just, I had it in my heart, and I had to tell y'all.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right. Next one is, open up. Come on, email.
Come on, email.
What's going on with this?
I don't know. You need to refresh.
All right.
Making us look bad.
I know. Let me find some more music for y'all to hear. What's going on with Gmail? Let me refresh this real quick. Let's play another selection by Theo Crocker, Escape Velocity. This one is called Meditations. So this one is from Carl Jones. He writes in, this is an email for the feedback show. Letter for Karen. I've been hesitant to write in for months, mostly because of my introvert nature. I don't like drawing a lot of attention to myself, but after listening to the feedback episode 1196, Crunch the Baby, it reminded me of a time Karen helped me, and I thought I should share it.
Oh,
yeah, he said this before people was hating this week.
Oh,
I don't think I ever thank Karen for the advice she gave me in the Blackout Test Facebook group. I was feeling pretty down about myself and having serious self-confidence issues. I wasn't valuing my self-worth enough, and it was sending me down a deep, dark depression every day. I remember commenting about it in a post in the group, and that small interaction with Karen has done me so much good. So I love the advice so much that I wrote it down and kept it near me every day to remind myself that I can do anything as long as I put in the work to make it better. I don't know if she remembers it, but I kept the comment she gave me. This is her response after tagging her about how she overcame her own doubts. It takes me a while, trust me, but once you do, your life will never be the same, because what I found out is that if you don't love yourself, no one can fill that void, and no one can love you more than you love yourself. Self-love is the most important love you can have in life. It helps you deal with and overcome a lot of things in life, I found out. And another comment by Karen, this is after I told her I was starting to do things to help myself. Glad to hear that, because I've been there, trust me, not loving myself, not feeling worthy of someone else's love. It was a battle daily. I started off by doing simple things like looking in the mirror, telling myself I'm beautiful, I'm wonderful, and I'm worthy to be loved. It may not sound like much, but it will help change you the way that you look at yourself. I know everyone is different, but it worked for me. If more people did it, they would love themselves much more than they do. I do that mirror thing every day. It's instantly picks me up every day, and I start out with one of my favorite songs. For example, this morning I play India Arie's Beautiful. Every morning I guarantee the morning starts off right, thanks to a special group of people in the Facebook group. Shout out to them, they know who they are. Also to Rod and Karen for starting this podcast and creating an online environment that promotes love and support for everybody who wants to be in it. I don't know what life would be like without this show. I can say a lot more, but I had to stop myself because I could go on for days about the greatness of this show. I'm going to end with this. Don't ever change what makes this show great. That's being unapologetic, black, and genuine. Signed, loyal listener for life. That's right. I'm making that type of commitment. LOL. Carl Jones Jr. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, sweetie. I remember that, and it's just one of those things where I think for me, because I've been down those dark holes and down that path, I don't want anybody else to feel that way about themselves. And that's one kind of commitment that I've made to myself, that I don't want anybody to feel worthless. I don't want anybody to feel like they're not worthy. I don't want anybody to feel those feelings. And if I can do anything to help people, you know that they are valuable, you know, it's the small things that counts, because life is life, and life come at you hard sometimes, and you know, life could be rough, it could be hard, relationships could be rough, relationships could be hard. Where you are now, it's not where you thought you were going to be, but life keeps going, and it's just one of those things where the love that I give and I show comes from the inside, because I love me first. And if I can love me, I can love other people.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, there's people that see that and try to push that down. You know, there's a lot of people that feel threatened by somebody that loves themselves. So,
right.
That's, you know, that's why it, like I said, it's so dope that people kind of have that love fest when people do kind of write in and say hurtful shit about us. Because we're people, too. And the same way that somebody can write in and inspire you and let you know that you're needed and wanted and loved, somebody can try to take that away. And people don't like to discuss the humanity of it because everyone's so busy trying to be cool for the internet and all this shit, or feeling like being callous and not having feelings is like real strength, but it's not. So yeah, we get affected by the negative things. They find a way through sometimes, but
they do.
Things like this find a way through too, man. So thank you, Carl.
Yeah, thank you, sweetie. And I'm happy for you, because I know it might not sound like much, but, you know, thank you so much. I didn't mean to start crying back here. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Like, that means...
you don't have to apologize for crying.
A lot to me, because it's just one of those things where everybody kind of periodically gets in these places of self-doubt, even as a teenager and things. And all of, some people are adults, like, they're fully grown, and they still haven't dealt with the self-doubts of being picked on, self-doubts of being a nerd, self-doubts of being an outcast, self-doubts of being black, self-doubts of their sexuality, whatever it is, you have these areas where these self-doubts are. And if you've never had anybody cultivate and grow and tell you you are perfect just the way you are, it's very hard. And, you know, it's even some adults, when you tell them that, they look at you like you're crazy, because I can truly say for me, I love myself now, and I contribute a lot of that to Roderick, because it, like, I know it might sound silly not to get off topic, but it was a period of time where, particularly when we had first started dating and things like that, Roderick used to tell me I was beautiful and all this stuff. And for a very, very long time, I truly didn't believe him. I really did not believe him. I didn't believe those words, because who would take the time out to pay me attention? Who would find me worthy of love? And I know a lot of people struggle with that, but the thing is, once I realized that his love for me was a real, true, genuine love, and once I got to the place where I realized there was nothing wrong with me for being who I am, and everybody else just had to accept who I am, and because who I am, I'm perfect, you know. Yes, you got flaws, but who you are, the interior, the thing that makes you tick, is just fine, just the way it is. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be altered in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And once you get to that point, you begin to love yourself. And once you love yourself, honestly, it extends out. And the thing about it is the internal thing. And that's why people try to take it away from you, because it's an internal thing. And when people don't have that light, they try to take that light from you so you can be just as dark as them in the inside. And I just refuse.
Yeah, my thing is, if you're feeling like down, the advice I would have gave Carl, find a podcast, start listening to it, right? You find the woman on that podcast and you write that bitch a letter and you say, you suck, you're terrible bitch, I hate you, I hate everything about you, you're ugly. And I'm like, what's wrong with your accent?
No,
don't. Why your hair look like that?
Do not take his advice,
you
people.
Find her Twitter, her Instagram, you write her letters in your own blood. You do what you need to do, you stalk this woman. You take all the pride and love that she has for her. Threaten her children. Do what you need to do, Carl.
Do not take this advice, children. He is giving bad advice.
All right, fine. I guess we disagree. Apparently
so, and I ain't backing down.
Nahon 87 writes in, hey, how y'all doing? I don't usually write in because I have to pay for every little megabyte. Darn you, Indonesia. Anywho, I just had to write in to say how much I love Rod's rap at the end of Game of Thrones feedback. Absolutely brilliant. Did you post the lyrics anywhere? Because I definitely want to share them along with the episode, of course, once I find some Wi-Fi. Well, I do have the lyrics somewhere. I feel like I have the lyrics.
Didn't you post them online?
Yeah, I posted them on my Twitter, at Rodimus Prime, but now it's been a while, so I don't know if it's still there. And I posted on my Facebook. But I also recorded them, a video of just me rapping the lyrics by myself without the laughing and stuff.
And
put it on Facebook and Twitter as well. Yeah, it's my pinned tweet on my Facebook profile.
Okay.
And a lot of people have been sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
I did the whole thing that way. Some people have been like, put a beat to it, but Kanye did his acapella, so that's why I did my acapella. I'll find the photo for you, and I'll make sure to send it to you, because I know I got it somewhere. I just need to upload it or something. Yeah. But yeah, I'll do that after the show.
Cool.
Anyway, but thank you. She also says, thanks again for the awesome podcast. It is much appreciated. Especially living in another country, listening to both your southern accents brings me back to Texas and NOLA. Though they are different accents, I need to hear that twang. Live long and prosper. Nahon 87. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
We shall live long and prosper. Mm-hmm. Thank you. John writes in, dear Karen and Rod, Karen's backbone is the title of this. The claim that Karen always backs down when Rod disagrees with her can be proven false in one word. Chipotle. Seriously though, I love it. That is so true though. You know what I mean? It was my personal mission every day. I was like, look at this story. They said you can live. 99% of people live, Karen. She was like, no, we gonna die. She ate a fish. She had to almost die. She had to almost die from somebody else's shit before she was like, fine.
It took a while.
Seriously though, I love the way you both listen to each other. Actually think about what the person says to clarify your points when the other is missing the essence of what you mean. You guys act like respectful adults, and it is one of the things that makes your show so great. P.S. Couldn't agree with Rod more. Vegetables have no place in Gatorade. Right? Dog. Somebody wrote me after the show talking about some, you know, that cucumber pepino grows on you. No, it doesn't. I accidentally got it more than once. It never grew on me. It sucks. Take no fucking jalapenos in my motherfucking Gatorade.
No tomatoes.
What's wrong with y'all?
No chopped onions.
It's not a V8. It's a fucking Gatorade. Half the flavors don't make no sense anyway.
No roasted garlic.
Right. Terrible. Feedback email, late bloomers to premium. LaShonda writes in, so first, it's been so long since I've written, but I still listen faithfully every week. Oh man, that's dope.
Thank you.
Let me begin by apologizing for it taking me so long to go premium. Life has been like the attached Black Panther meme, and it's Bucky on that motorcycle and Black Panther is life.
It get like that sometimes. It'll fuck you up. You'll be like, oh, what happened?
But I had to start taking care of me, and part of that is supporting you, because even though you may not know it, listening to you and Karen kept me going these last 7 years, and I will be forever grateful. Second, Karen, I want to thank you so much for being a wonderful person you are. There are times I listen to the podcast and you speak on something that speaks to me as a parent. And every time, every single time I send you a Facebook message to discuss it a little further,
you
respond with such kind and encouraging words that help me to be a little less hard on myself. You have no idea how much that means. I'm sitting here starting to cry as I think of it.
Oh.
Listen, everybody can't be crying, okay?
Y'all, we go to AustinCon, go with a bunch of people crying.
Y'all niggas show up crying at AustinCon. I'm never
crying and laughing.
Never doing another event again. Y'all niggas show up crying.
Mm-mm. Nope, we gonna be right back there.
Not gonna be no tears on my. These shirts cost money. Okay, now I know they don't look like much, but they cost a lot. Thank you for your wonderful, generous, for being the wonderful, generous, kind person you are. I can't wait to meet you and get a photo if you allow it. A hug,
of course.
A hug from you at AustinCon.
Yes.
Enough of the heavy stuff. All I know is that listening to episode 1200, all I heard was those Black Panther flutes followed by the ether Karen prepared to go in on that asshole that deserved every bit of it. Classy as always. I really want to ask these He-Man woman haters, why do you deny yourself heaven? Oh well, be miserable by yourself, butt faces. Thanks again. And Oz Premium now. Love you guys. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you, sweetie.
Picked a good time. You picked a good time.
Yeah, this week been lit.
Oh,
literally,
man.
And figuratively.
That was man, you lucked up. Right as the ratchetness begins. Jamel writes in, aka Skyjammer. Man, I already give you money every month, but two things happened on the premium side that made me dig into my pockets deeper. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he started a recurring donation this week, even though he has premium already.
Thank you, sweetie.
One, Fear the Walking Dead recaps. Love it. Thanks, man.
Thank you, sweetie.
Glad you love it. Now, if them white people could just love Strand a little bit more, I would be happy with the show. Them some ungrateful white folks.
I think they will.
Two, yesterday on Balls Deep, it was lit. I hope Jay Azalea Banks. Justin Azalea Banks. Oh, yeah, it's Jay Azalea Banks. Made it home safely. He did. His wife came and got him. Right after yesterday, you should change the name from the black guy to the black guy who gets tipsy. LOL. See what I did there up top. And make daddy a sandwich. Make daddy a sandwich. what if Falcon would have said that during Civil War?
Oh, I'd have fell out.
You would have fighting Spider-Man, look directly at the screen. Now make daddy a sandwich. I would have been like, you nigga. I knew you was inside of there the whole time.
Don't forget y'all.
Right. Cut your dreads off and get a suit. No!
No! I almost like you as a character.
Why they letting you play Martin Luther King at HBO?
Right.
I saw it. In the words of Queen Karen, I am here for all of this. Peace and love, Jamel, aka Skyjammer. Thanks,
Thank
man.
Thank you.
We got this one from Miss Smart, who was just on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Medium Talk 33. Karen, Rod, that motherfucker loves the show, but isn't comfortable with his love for it. How could he like, one, listening to a woman, two, listening to a black woman, three, listening to a black woman with a southern accent? How could this woman be married to a man who loves her and appreciates her as she is? Mm-hmm. How could this show be as successful as it is with a black woman being who she is? This is causing him so much cognitive dissonance that he had to lash out via Twitter and email, loser. Oh yeah, we're not reading that email, but yeah, he emailed and everything. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I put that on the premium side. You got to pay to hear that shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. You know what they what Beyonce say?
Best revenge is your paper.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Also, he comes across like he spent a part of his life achieving respectable Negro status. Anything that doesn't align with that is offensive to who he is and what he strives to appear to be, right? I'm tired of people thinking they can just pop off. Rod had time and I am glad. Yes, I make the time for some of these motherfuckers. He isn't used to men stepping to him about something he said about a woman. That is sad.
Right.
Rod has said time and time again that from the outset of the show, he was only going to do it with Karen. What part of that do these idiots not get? It's a package deal. Don't like the package? Carry your ass to another aisle and do your shopping over there.
Please do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what's funny to me. It's like, I hope you get, even at the end, he's like, he tried to slide in one more, like, well, you get with a professional podcast at the end. I was like, no, nigga. This is it. Karen is professional. The fuck you talking about? Literally the definition of professional. She makes money from doing this. that is as professional as it fucking gets.
Right.
Your little friends that you run around praising, they don't do what we do. Anyway, keep doing what y'all doing. In closing, fuck that nigger. Hard ER. Ooh, the hardest of ERs.
Oh.
Miss Smart. Wow, thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Let's see. Conrad, we only got two left. Conrad says, you know, official first time donator. Happy 1201. Hi, Rod and Karen, official first time donator Conrad here. And I just wanted to wish y'all a happy 1200 episode and beyond. I was reflecting recently on how much I appreciate your show and how big a part of my life it is. I started listening in February 2013, episode 427, almost 800 episodes ago. Oh my God.
We've been doing it that long, nigga.
Wow. Yeah. And since then, you guys have been in my ear constantly, from bad times like the getting laid off or my grandfather dying. Glad and great times, huh?
I said, glad you got through that, sweetie.
And great times, like when I graduated from college and got a great new job.
Yay!
You have been like a pair of friends that I could always listen to and feel better. I just wanted to say that I love your show and feel I could and couldn't imagine it not being here. It seems like you've gotten a lot of negative stuff this week, so I just really wanted to keep on keeping on. Sorry for the long email. Looking forward to another 1,200 shows. Winky face. Have a great one. Thanks, Conrad.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, Ashanti says 100% real nigga shit. Dear Queen Empress Karen and Rod, the Troll Slayer. It has been, I like that I'm getting titles this week. Before this, it was always Karen the Khaleesi, Karen Queen of the Nile, Mother of Dragons, Stormborn,
Tanker of them all,
Round Mound of Rebound. Hey, Rod. Ron.
I guess you're here too.
Yeah. And Rob.
Like, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. You get several versions.
It's been a minute since I've written, and I figured no better time than the present. I'm super excited for you that you will be at DC for Awesome Con, and I cannot wait to meet you both. I will definitely have baked treats on deck. that's like a version of Love & Hip Hop group.
Yeah.
Baked treats on deck. BTOD.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for that.
And considering how lit Balls Deep was this week, I'm making margarita cupcakes. Okay, we'll see about that. Maybe just a nibble. I'm not getting drunk again for a while. I also want to give a digital fuck you to that hating ass troll who has some nerve to come for Karen. You can have a Spike Lee sit your ass down. Shout out to Black Astronauts. That's it for me. Take care, and I'll see you in June at Not That Ashanti. P.S. The video I tweeted. NBA starters as cheerleaders in a clip from this video apparently is from this video apparently right out the gate. Dirk is behind on the 8 count. LeBron's knees are ashy. I don't know why all these niggas are wearing waist trainers, but fuck it, it's worth seeing Steph be the MVP during the Cabbage Patch. Yeah, I saw that video. Is that the one with the formation as well? Anyway, thank you so much, and we appreciate you. Everybody else, we'll be back tomorrow 10 a.m. on the dot with some of the comedy outliers. I mean, comedy outliers, god damn it, some of the Decepticons. Although Mike Brown is scheduled to be one of them, so he's a comedy outlier. I think he's trying to beat Brandon Collins. They're having a appearance off in
right,
2016.
Right. I think they both won in the lead right now.
Yeah, so but yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. This is a long feedback show, but it was so positive. And you got some nerdery and all that stuff, and
yes,
we appreciate y'all.
Thank all you.
All right, until tomorrow, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.